This is the feast of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The epistle for this first Mass for the feast is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Titus. Beloved, the grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us in order that rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live temperately and justly and piously in this world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people pursuing good works. Thus speak and exhort in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. At that time, a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that a census of the whole world should be taken. This first census took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all were going, each to his own town, to register. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the town of Nazareth into Judea to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to register together with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, that the days for her to be delivered were fulfilled. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in the same district, living in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of God shone round about them, and they feared exceedingly. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men of good will." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On occasions like this, brethren, it is a good thing to get back to what we might call the basics. You know, the complexities of life, the troubles, the ups and downs, and all the subtleties whereby we must live are of such a nature that often we forget the most important truths, the things that we live by, the things that really matter. So, without going into too much subtleties of doctrine, let's talk about the most simple things of all, the things that matter the most, particularly on this feast of Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the birthday of our divine Savior. This marks the moment that the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, having taken a body from the blood, the nature of his Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary, having taken a body from her while retaining his divine nature that was attached to his divine person, the Son of God, was born virginally from his mother in the world. And so you see then that the virgin birth is essential to this whole feast of the Nativity. And so let's spend just a moment to remind you about this, because it's so important, and it gives such beauty to the feast and such dignity to the Mother of God. Of course, she is then more than just Mother of Christ the man. She is Mother of God, because all things of nature belong to the person. And since he who was born, his person is the divine person of the Holy Trinity, the second person, therefore we can truly say that she is the Mother of God. And her motherhood is of such a nature that not only did she conceive our divine Lord virginally, miraculously, but her birth was also virginal. That's why we say, to remind you, because we have to say it once again, due to the false propaganda that it keeps going on, continuing through the media, particularly in the so-called intellectual channels. Because of that, we must say once again that not only is the Blessed Virgin Mary virgin before birth, but during birth and after birth. That is to say, that even though our Lord and Savior was born truly in the natural way that any child is born from his mother, our Lord, when he was born, did not violate her physical virginity, but passed through her womb while the womb remained shut to preserve her virginal state, so that the Virgin Mary is then virgin and mother before, during, and after birth, and perpetually a virgin. While I'm not about the business of defending at the moment the fact that she is virgin after birth and always, it has always been known and believed by everybody, except we have the unique distinction of having committed the blasphemy in our age of questioning and denying her perpetual virginity. I remind you that despite the propaganda of people who hate the Virgin Mary and hate this feast, we remind you that the Virgin Mary is always a virgin, and she had only one child, to whom she gave birth, the Son of God made man. And that brings us to why we call this day the Feast of Light. Why? Because this is the feast that reveals to us the truth that the Son of God is truly fully God and fully man, with all the qualities of a man, body and blood, and organs and passions and such. Everything that makes a man is what was attributed to God the Son, who entered the world as a man, as an infant. And this is the day that we not only know it, but acknowledge it. And it is by virtue of a divine revelation that this truth has been revealed to us and to which we adhere, and it's part of what makes you a Christian. Not simply because you admire the Son of Christ, Jesus, as a good man, but you acknowledge him as true God, our God, God the Son, possessed of a human nature as well as a divine, fused together and eternally so, There'll never be a moment when God the Son ceases not only to be God, but to be man at the same time. He took on this humanity forever. So he is related to us always. And this is the day, this is the feast that acknowledges that truth. The day that he was born and made visible to the world in this form of true humanity. And because of this, brethren, because of it, all humanity has been changed ever since Christmas. The whole world knows and feels the truth of this great day. Even unbelievers acknowledge there's something special, something unique about this moment in time at the stroke of midnight, December 25th. Yes, December 25th. That God entered the world as a man and truly God. And that moment, as I told you, has changed the whole destiny and the whole course of events of the human race. And with that, we can say as well, and you can feel it, even people who don't even believe all feel there's something different about the whole world because of this day. Even those who seek to ignore it, nevertheless cannot help but sense there's something different. And it is because of this that everybody, even the atheists, everybody feels the joy of Christmas. It's a joy that is not only contagious, but inescapable. And if you want to know why it is that this day is held in such esteem, and everybody loves it, everybody, if you want to know why there's such joy in the world, even a joy that is tainted with materialism, but nevertheless, it's a joyful day, a joyful moment. If you want to know, the first is because, you see, despite the pleasures and honors and power and possessions of people in the world, even the rich and famous, not to mention the average folk and the poor, despite all of their distractions, all of their entertainments, and all of the, as I told you, pleasures and honors that people experience, nevertheless, everybody is so sad. Everybody is sad. Everybody, no matter how powerful he is always troubled, filled with troubles. Each one of you. And I am in a position to know many of your troubles. And you are considered by most people in the world as very rich, because most of the world is very poor, and most of the people on the earth are starving. But besides that, there's so much evil, and everybody knows it, everybody feels it. There's so much evil, so much violence. Now, in our country, we are on the verge of race riots all over the country. There's so much danger. Everybody is afraid. Afraid of war. Afraid of being the objects of hatred, of loneliness, of betrayal, even from the people whom we think we can trust, of injustice. Everybody's worried about being treated unjustly, not only at home, but especially in the workforce, always worried about being treated as an object and not as a human being. People wonder, in this world, whom can I trust? There's so much abuse, so much sickness. And sickness, by the as you well know, is independent of age. It can be very young and be very sick, deathly sick. And how many are afraid of getting old because of the infirmities of old age? Everybody's afraid of not being able to be self-reliant. How much sickness and suffering and pain there is, and so unexpected. And ultimately, everybody knows that he must face death. And as it is said, it is appointed for a man to die. And to die once. Thank God it's only once. And then to be judged. Everybody is afraid. And people seldom recognize that the ultimate cause of all of this is because of sin. It is sin that Lucifer brought into the world by his deceiving of Adam that brought all of these troubles to us that we must all endure. It is the ultimate cause of all that we must endure, original sin, actual sin. And because of that and its effects in death and sickness and all kinds of troubles, of worry and fear, sin abounds. And why then is Christmas a day in which we finally can have joy, a joy that lasts? Because Christmas is the only day, the only feast, despite all of the promises of the world and all of its leaders and all of the people who offer us pleasures and distractions, this one day is the only day, this one moment is the only moment that brings real hope. Hope. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, true God, true man, has entered the world. God is now with us. Our God. Not a distant God. Not a God who begins the world and watches from a distance. An indifferent God. No. Our God is with us, close to us. And he came to free us. Not only from sin, but from all the things, all the hardships and troubles and sufferings that sin brings. And that's what we mean when we say, as the angel says, I bring you news of great joy. I bring to you the knowledge that a Savior has entered the world, who is Christ the Lord. Because by his consoling presence, by his words, by his miracles, by his sacrificial death, his renewal of it at Holy Mass, by his resurrection and his final victory at the end, by his imparting to us his divine life and bringing to us the heaven that we freely gave up because of Adam who spoke for us, because he restores to us our supernatural destiny, our end, our purpose. That's the reason why people are so happy on this day, because they know that the trials they endure now are not meant forever, that there is a happy future, a happy end, that our Savior has come to save us and redeem us from all these troubles, and that once the Savior, Christ our Lord, has entered the world as a little baby. We know that on this night that it happened, no one can stop it. No matter how much his enemies attack him and those who belong to him, they cannot resist, they cannot stop, they cannot frustrate his purpose. Christmas is here, and the effects of it will last until the end of time. There'll always be a Christmas, whether people in the world are free or not free to celebrate it. Christmas will always be that moment that we remember that a Savior has come, and not only has come, but has stayed with us, remains with us. All our hopes for freedom from sorrow, from death, our hopes for immortality with God rest in this little baby born in a cave in a little town. Our God, this little infant that you see imaged in that little image over there, see? He's our God. And more than every hope, every desire rests in this infant. Our God who comes to us in that form to welcome us and to be welcomed by us. Even when his enemies sought to murder him as an infant, it's all meant in failure, because his end, his will, is unconquerable. Even when he seems to be the most helpless, there he is, and he can't be stopped. In fact, we are so certain of this, so certain of the truth of final release from sorrow, from fear, from suffering and death, that we repeat the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. That our enemies, we know, the enemies of God, our enemies, can no longer have final domination over us. That's the reason why they hate this day, and they do everything they can to destroy it, to twist it and pervert it, and make it to be something other than it really is. But we, who are true Christians, we know the truth of this day, what it really means. And we are so certain of it. We are so certain of the hope and the promise of Christmas and of what it brings, that we sing of the future as if it is now. And so, in one of the masses for Christmas, there is sung the words, "All the earth, the ends of the earth, have seen the salvation of our God." Because we already know that it's already begun, and no one can end it. No one can stop it. That's the joy of Christmas. The joy of knowing that we have been freed in the end from all the things that frighten us. There's no more reason to be despaired, to be filled with hopelessness and discouragement. Because in the end, our God is with us, and more, is aiding us and sustaining us. And that's the reason why this day is so filled with joy, and why we sing carols, and why there are so many beautiful customs of Christian peoples throughout all the nations of the earth. Each one has its own carols, its own expression of joy and happiness, because they recognize, you see, the fact that our God is here, that he has bridged the infinite distance between us and him because of his desire to bring us to the home that he has prepared for us in heaven, and that this life is passing swiftly, and there is a great future, a great happiness in store for us. And here, in this little chapel, what a privilege it is, don't you think, that before our eyes, unknown to so many people, even in this neighborhood and in the area all around us, unknown to these people, there is in our chapel our God, the God of Bethlehem, the God who made everything and who keeps it in existence by simply knowing it and willing it, that God who has redeemed us, who has already in the process of taking away all the things that make us afraid and sad, that this God is here, and that he comes in the same way that he came to our Blessed Mother on Christmas night, this night, to Saint Joseph, to the shepherds, that he renews on our altar during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, when his passion and death are renewed, made present again, and the incarnation comes back to the altar, the God-man who was born in Bethlehem. And here he is with us again. He comes to be with us, to assure us of his promises, to give us an increase of divine life, sanctifying grace, without which no man can be saved, to give us divine life and a foretaste of his final conquest at the end of time and the promise of heaven. And that's the joy of this day, the joy of this Mass. And it is with this that I assure you that I and all the fathers, and I as offering this holy Mass and having this great privilege of being the instrument by which our divine Savior renews his incarnation, his divine presence here on the altar, It is with this that I am keeping you particularly in mind at this Mass, praying for you, and that the joys that filled the heart of our Blessed Mother, of Saint Joseph, of the shepherds, that the joy of Bethlehem and the benefits, the graces of the manger may be with you on this night. You are part of the moment of Christmas that the first took place, not merely by remembering it and honoring it, but by being a part of it, because the very mystery of Bethlehem, the very event of the Nativity in the presence of God on earth, is renewed here on our altar in as humble a way as the way our divine Savior first came on earth. And I'm hoping as well that you will have the same attitude, the same spirit of the shepherds, of Saint Joseph, of his Virgin Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, to welcome him with humility, with gratitude, with joy, with divine love. And it is with all of that, you see, that I say to you, have a, as the word means, Mary, a blessed Christmas, that you may enjoy the presence of God and the promise that he gives you, even a foretaste of the heaven that awaits you. May God bless you.